The 11th Conference, The Little Way of Spiritual Childhood. It will help to understand the place that the Holy Spirit should have in our life if we study the example of someone who was totally open to the Holy Spirit, who used the Holy Spirit as her spiritual director during the last years of her life. This person is Saint Therese of Lisieux, usually called the Little Flower. And her teaching on this openness to the Holy Spirit is given under the title of The Little Way of Spiritual Childhood. In this conference, we will take a look at the particular life that Saint Therese lived. And we will quote from her words from her spiritual autobiography, The Story of a Soul, to help us to realize just what does it mean to be totally open to the Holy Spirit. Saint Therese is a model and an example for all of us to follow. A couple of years ago, our present Pope, John Paul II, declared Saint Therese to be a doctor of the Church. In other words, her doctrine of spiritual childhood was a part of the whole tradition of the Church, and therefore is totally safe for us to follow. I would urge you to read once again, if you have already read it in the past, her autobiography, The Story of a Soul. There's also another book that helps to bring out this openness of Saint Therese to the Holy Spirit. It is called The Hidden Face, and it is written by Ida Gores, G-O-E-R-R-E-S. It may be out of print, but there are many copies around in different libraries. If you have a chance, please read it. With the following words, Saint Therese introduces us to the doctrine of spiritual childhood. I have always wanted to be a saint, but when I compare myself to the saints, there is between them and me the same difference that exists between a mountain whose summit is lost in the clouds and the obscure grain of sand trampled underfoot by the passerby. Instead of becoming discouraged, I said to myself, God cannot inspire unrealizable desires. I can, then, in spite of my littleness, aspire to holiness. I want to seek out a means of going to heaven by a little way, a way very straight, very short, and totally new. I want to find an elevator which would raise me up to Jesus, for I am too small to climb the rough stairway of perfection. I searched then in the Scriptures for some sign of this elevator, the object of my desires. I read these words coming from the mouth of eternal wisdom. Whoever is a little one, let him come to me. I felt that I had found what I was looking for. But wanting to know, O my God, what you would do to the very little one who answered your call, I continued my search, and this is what I discovered in the 66th chapter of Isaiah. As one whom a mother caresses, so will I comfort you. The elevator which must raise me to heaven is your arms, O Jesus. For this I had no need to grow up, but rather I had to remain little and become so more and more. Sometimes when I read books in which perfection is put before us with the goal obstructed by a thousand obstacles, my poor little head is quickly tired. I close the learned treatise, which wearies my brain and dries up my heart, and I turn to the sacred Scriptures. Then all becomes clear and light. A single word opens out infinite vistas. Perfection appears easy, and I see that it is enough to acknowledge our nothingness, and like children, surrender ourselves into the arms of God. leaving to great and lofty minds the beautiful books which I cannot understand, still less put into practice. I rejoice in my littleness, because only little children and those who are like them shall be admitted to the heavenly banquet. Sanctity does not consist in those exercises or achievements. It consists in a disposition of the heart which allows us to remain small and humble in the arms of God, knowing our weakness and trusting to the point of rashness in God's fatherly goodness. Only during the final weeks of her life did Saint Therese begin to use the phrase "the little way" to describe her doctrine of spiritual childhood. To call her teaching a little way is to emphasize its adaptability for use by average people. Traditionally, sanctity has been considered as possible only for great and heroic souls who perform miracles or other remarkable feats. Saint Therese insists that none of these are necessary to reach sanctity. This does not mean that sanctity is easy and that tepid, selfish, or careless souls are automatically assured of perfection. Rather, holiness can be found in doing the most ordinary and simple task with extraordinary love and confidence in God. For Therese, being childlike is the opposite of being childish. She said so often that she is not able to do extraordinary things, so she will do ordinary things with extraordinary love. For Therese, being a little child was simply another way of expressing what other spiritual writers call spiritual poverty. To remain little means to recognize one's nothingness, to expect everything from God, and not to worry too much about one's faults. The weaker and more helpless, the more eagerly do we hasten to a child's aid. She was convinced that God also treated little ones in the same way. "Because I am little and weak, Jesus stooped down to me and tenderly instructed me in the secrets of his love." As a consequence of this sense of littleness, there grows a dependence upon God's providence from day to day and even from moment to moment. Saint Therese wrote, "Many a time I have noticed that Jesus will not give me provision for the future. He sustains me from moment to moment with nourishment that is ever new. I find it in me without knowing how it is there. I believe quite simply that it is Jesus himself, hidden in the depths of my heart, who acts in me in a mysterious manner and inspires me with all that he wills me to do at the moment." Thus, a little soul practices spiritual poverty and at the same time enjoys the blessing of the first beatitude, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." God does not give his graces in advance, but only at the moment when they are needed. A second result of spiritual childhood is the joyful acceptance of one's frequent falls. Being little, one can expect to fall many times. Children often fall, but they are too small to hurt themselves seriously. She says, "When I happen to fall into some fault, I rise again immediately without any of that anger that comes from wounded pride in case of complicated souls." Therese did not always experience such a joyful acceptance of her faults. For years she struggled with scruples. For a number of years after she entered Carmel Convent, she was filled with anxiety concerning her indeliberate faults. During the annual retreat, she felt very exhausted and pale, neither eating nor sleeping very well. However, in 1891, Father Alexis, a Capuchin missionary, assured her in confession that her faults did not grieve the good God, since they were not deliberate. From then on she could rejoice in her falls, since they served to remind her of her littleness and her total dependence upon God. When we are excessively upset at our faults, we're actually succumbing to pride. After the example of St. Therese, we should rejoice in our non-deliberate falls or failures, which give no offense to God but serve to remind us of our total dependence on God, of our nothingness apart from God. The more one humbly recognizes that one is weak and miserable, the more God loves to lavish his gifts upon us. A third aspect of Therese's littleness may seem strange to us today. That is her desire to be ignored and forgotten by everyone. Therese saw this as a necessary consequence of being spiritually a little child. I wish to be forgotten not only by others but also by myself, so as no longer to have any desire except to love the good God. I desire to be unknown to all creatures. I never long for human glory. Contempt from others had formerly some attraction for my heart, but when I saw that this was still too good for me, I conceived an ardent desire to be forgotten. Closely akin to the humility of Therese and her doctrine of spiritual childhood is simplicity. The life of a simple soul goes straight to God and to the doing of God's will. This simplicity is expressed in the Beatitude, "Blessed are the pure of heart." Jesus says of this simplicity, "If your eye be single, then your whole body will be filled with light." Therese says, "For simple souls, there must be no complicated ways or procedures, no overtaxing of the mind, nothing to distract one from the one occupation of love and obedience to God's will. Such simplicity will manifest itself especially in one's prayers, when we simply tell God whatever is on our mind and in our heart, knowing well that He will understand. There will be no pretense, no attempt to appear different from our real self. Simplicity means accepting ourselves as we are and allowing everyone to know us as we truly are. We glory in the truth, appearing outwardly as within, without duplicity. There is no artificiality, no dishonesty, no pretense." Saint Therese remarks, "It is well that the kingdom of God contains many mansions, for if there were none other than those of which the description and the way seem incomprehensible to me, I should never be able to enter therein." In the process of Therese's canonization, the witnesses who had known her testified again and again concerning this simplicity. With her, everything was simple and natural. She acted in so simple a manner that her life seemed quite ordinary. The heroic character of her virtues was unnoticed by most of the sisters in the convent. The greatest saint of modern times was looked upon by some of the nuns and as not even being a good religious. This is certainly the height of simplicity and self-effacement. Her life was so much like that of all the others that her daily companions did not suspect any heroic greatness in her. Along with humility, Therese insists that the little way must also include a bold confidence and immense desires. "I feel the daring confidence that one day I shall become a great saint," she says. "I am not trusting on my own merits, for I have none, but I trust in him who is virtue and holiness itself. Our dreams and our desires for perfection are not fancies, since Jesus himself has commanded us to realize them, saying, "Be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Little children have a right to be daring with their parents. My excuse is my title of child. Children do not reflect on the import of their words. Nevertheless, inner wisdom are possessed of immense treasures. They do not hesitate about gratifying the desires of the little ones whom they cherish more than themselves. God is infinite in riches, in greatness, in power, in goodness, in mercy, in love. God can give forever without exhausting his bountiful treasures. His glory is to be able to give without measure. His joy to please his children on earth who come to him with loving trust. Even the most immense desires in relation to ourselves are exceedingly small in relation to what God hopes for us. Guided by this kind of thinking, Therese formed immense desires, and having formed them, she dared to articulate them in the simplicity of her confidence in God. "Immense," she says, "are the desires that I feel within my heart, and with confidence I call upon you to come and take possession of my soul." Probably the characteristic of her spirituality that is most applicable to our situation today is that of her unlimited confidence in God. Rather than fear of God, her whole relationship with God was that of love, and therefore was that of openness to the Holy Spirit. As she says, "We obtain from the good God quite as much as we hope for. God proportions his goodness to accord with the degree of our confidence in him, and takes great delight in showing greatest favors upon the most weak and helpless souls, provided that we trust ourselves completely to him and have good will." Near the end of her life, Therese prayed, "O Jesus, could I but tell all little souls of your ineffable condescension? I feel that if it were possible to find one more weak than mine, you would take delight in showering upon her greater favors still, provided that she abandon herself with entire confidence to your infinite mercy." Therese was convinced that if souls felt what she herself felt, no one would despair of reaching the summit of the Mount of Love. The fact that she saw herself so imperfect after many years as a religious did not in any way take away her daring confidence to become a saint. She tells us that she does not count on her own merits, but on the power of him who, being virtue and holiness itself, would clothe her with his infinite merits and make her a saint. "The good God has always come to my assistance," she says. "He has helped me and led me by the hand from my earliest years. I can count on him." Therese assures us that never can we have too much confidence in the good God. Her confidence was based not only upon God's goodness, God's love and mercy, but in a special way upon God's justice. It is because he is just that the good God is compassionate and full of gentleness, slow to punish and abounding in mercy. "For he knows our frailty. He remembers that we are but dust. What a joy to think that our Lord is just, that he takes into account our weakness and knows so well the frailty of our nature. That, what then need I fear? Will not the God of infinite justice, who deigns to pardon so mercifully the sins of the prodigal son, he also, just to me, who was I'm always with him. Justice takes account of the good intentions and gives to virtue its reward. It is because he is just, Therese says, that he is compassionate and merciful, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. I cannot understand souls that are afraid of so tender a friend. She goes on to say, it is not because I have been shielded from mortal sin that I raise my heart to God in trust and love. I feel that even if I had on my conscience all the crimes one could commit, I should never lose nothing of my confidence. Broken-hearted, with contrition, I would go and throw myself into the arms of my Savior. I know that the prodigal son is dear to him. I've heard his words to Mary Magdalene, to the adulteress, to the Samaritan woman. I know that in one moment all that multitude of sins would disappear like a drop of water cast into a flaming furnace. As to our daily faults, she feels that instead of running away from our Heavenly Father, we need only to throw ourselves into His arms and implore His forgiveness. When we act thus, she says, He thrills with joy. He says to His angels what the father of the prodigal son said to His servants, put a ring on her finger and let us rejoice. Whatever the fault, when thrown into the furnace of divine love with filial confidence, it is immediately consumed forever. For a number of years, Saint Therese was besieged with a deep spiritual darkness, with dryness in prayer and temptations against faith. If she had merely trusted her feelings, she would have been convinced that she had been abandoned by God. When questioned as to her mode of acting in these hours of darkness, she replied, I turn to the good God and to all the saints and thank them just the same. I think they wish to see to what point I shall carry my trust. But not in vain have the words of Job sunk into my heart. Though he should kill me, yet I will trust in him. He will weary and wait for making me wait, than I shall of waiting. She reasoned that God was hiding himself in order to make himself longed for and sought after all the more. My sufferings may reach the farthest limits, but I am sure that he will never abandon me. Near the end of her autobiography, she expresses some of these tremendous desires for sanctity. To be your spouse, to be a Carmelite, to be a mother of souls, should not this suffice me? Yet it is not so. I feel the vocation of a warrior, of the priest, the doctor, the apostle, the martyr. I feel the need and the desire of carrying out the most heroic deeds for you, O Jesus. I want to die on the field of battle in defense of the church. I would like to enlighten souls, as did the prophets. I have the vocation of an apostle. I would like to travel over the whole earth to preach the gospel to all five continents simultaneously, and even to the most remote isles. I would be a missionary not for a few years only, but from the beginning of creation until the consummation of the ages. Above all, I would shed my blood for you, even to the very last drop. O my Jesus, what is your answer to all my follies? Is there a soul more little, more powerless than mine? Nevertheless, because of my weakness, it has pleased you, O Lord, to grant my little childish desires, and you desire today to grant other desires that are greater than the universe. Experiencing these immense desires, Therese tells us that they became a veritable martyrdom till she found in chapters 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians. I read that not all can be apostles, prophets, or doctors. Without becoming discouraged, I continued my reading, and this sentence consoled me: strive after the better gifts. I point out to you a yet more excellent way. And then the apostle explains how all the most perfect gifts are nothing without love. The charity is the way to God. I finally had rest. Charity gave me the key to my vocation. I understood that if the church had a body composed of different members, the most necessary and most noble of all, namely a heart, could not be lacking to it. So I understood that it was love alone that made the church members act. I understood that love comprised all vocations, that love was everything, that it embraced all times and all places. Then in the excess of my delirious joy, I cried out, "My vocation is love. O my Jesus, I love you. I love the church, my mother. I recall that the smallest act of pure love is of more value to her than all other works together. I beg you, therefore, to cast your divine glance upon a great number of little souls. I beg you to choose a legion of little victims worthy of your love. The Holy Spirit is the bond of love that unites the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, and the bond of love that unites us to God. Openness, therefore, to the Holy Spirit means openness to love." And this is the topic for the 12th and final conference on the Holy Spirit. This is the end of the conference.